Good morning and welcome to Henderson's First Baptist Church radio broadcast from Henderson, Kentucky. My name is Chuck Henderson and I serve as the executive pastor here at First Baptist, where we strive to make disciples who are Bible-centered. We seek to proclaim the gospel and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission is to develop generations of God-glorifying disciples who, in turn, make disciples from the community to the continents. And whether that's in person at our church or over the radio waves, that is our goal. If you have any questions about God, salvation, or general information concerning the church, please connect with us through the internet at www.fbchenderson.org. That's www.fbchenderson.org. We would love to connect with you. But on behalf of the people at HFBC and our senior pastor, Sam Hinkson, we are so glad that you are joining us today. Here is our broadcast for today.
Church. We do have a God who saves. We have a creator who created all these things. And we have a holy King of kings and a Lord of lords we worship together. Will you sing?
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is my health and salvation. Thank you.
do sing Praise the Lord. And he is our vision, church. He is a vision that gives us hope, but also to that provides us a clear understanding of his truth. And we sing that now. Church, as we continue on in our worship, we come now to the time where we give back to what the Lord has so graciously given to us. I'm going to ask Chuck if he would lead a blessing upon these offerings and tithes we're about to receive. Brother, will you lead us?
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to be together this morning to worship you through song and through the preaching of the word. I pray that you use these gifts for your mission, for ministry, that we would impact the world around us. Please be with Pastor Sam this morning and bless his message, that we would walk away with things that we could apply and use to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is so good to be able to gather again with you on this beginning of spring break. And for those of you who are here and have nothing better to do this week, thank God for you. But of course, there's nothing better than to gather in the house of God and to worship Christ. I want to invite you, if you will, to take your Bibles and to turn to Luke's Gospel. We are going to be in Luke's Gospel today as we conclude this two-week mini-series inaugurating our go-to-one emphasis for this next 12 months, this next year of months. Now, last week we looked at the account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and I challenged you last week to prayerfully consider committing to go-to-one in the coming year. And so last week, many of you will have received in your bulletins one of these commitment cards. And then there will also be one of those commitment cards in your bulletins this week. And so for our members, I want to encourage you to make sure that you have one of these for the end of the service, because it will be important in me eliciting a response from you. This is not merely something where I want you to come and just kind of listen and nibble on the word this morning. We really want to try to make some substantial commitments before the Lord for this next year. And so I'm going to ask you to make a tangible move later on in the service today. And what this card's going to mean is it's a prayerful commitment on your part to the Lord, saying, Lord, help me find one person in this next year to commit, and I'm going to call them by name, and I'm going to pray for them by name, and I'm going to be intentional in sharing the gospel with this person and inviting them to follow Christ with me in the next year. And then, Lord, please open for me a door to go and share and to invite that person to follow Christ with me, that they might be a disciple of Jesus as I am. Now, last week when we looked at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, we were looking at the dynamic of listening to God, keeping our ears opening, knowing what God is doing, cooperating with what God is doing, and realizing that God is always active in salvation and that God is always drawing an outsider into himself. But this morning, what we're going to be looking at is the importance of looking for people. Last week, it was more focused on listening to God. This week, it is more the importance of looking for people. And so with that in mind, let's start in verse 1 of chapter 15, Luke's Gospel. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One sinner who repents, one lost sheep that is found, and there is rejoicing in heaven, we are told, before the angels of God. I don't know about you, but I hate losing things. I was one time working on one of those little cell phone holders where you kind of plug it in and the sides snap together and it holds the phone in place in your car, and it was kind of not working, so I had taken the screws off the back and it had these tension springs in it, and then bing, one of the springs went out. And even though there's this room that I'm in, I tell you, brothers and sisters, I looked high and low. This woman looking for her lost coin, I was looking for my lost spring. But unlike her, I never found it. I think it went into an alternative dimension of some kind. I hate losing things. And some of you know what I'm talking about. When some of you are contact wearers and that thing drops out, you're like, whoop, got to find it. And most of you don't go, well, you know, I just lost the contact. I guess that's the way it is. No, you search until you find it. I hate losing things, but man, I love finding things. When Heather and I, we took a big trip out west, and we stayed at Glorieta in New Mexico, and I have my flight jacket that I've had for many, many years. I love it. It's a prized possession for me. It's probably an idol. The Lord's probably, you know, taking vengeance on it, and I just happened to leave it in the hotel room there in New Mexico, and so here we are way back, and I didn't even think about it until we were already back in Kentucky, and I'm like, oh, my word. And it took me a while to figure out that must have been where I left it. I left it in the hotel in New Mexico. And so I called them up, and I talked with the young lady there, and she was so helpful to me. And I'm like, I think it's in this room. She found it. She shipped it to me. And when I got that thing in the mail, I'm like, thank you, Lord. My lost sheep has come back to me. My lost jacket has returned home to me. I bring all of this up because the life of following Christ is one of looking for the lost. If we are genuine followers of Christ, we are those who seek that which is lost. I told you last week, we looked at Luke 19:10, which I think is very clearly a mission statement for Jesus' life, where he says, the Son of Man, referring to himself, I came to seek and to save the lost. His message is, I'm here to find people who need to be found. I'm here to find people who aren't where they should be. And as he did this, as Jesus went about this mission, a wonderful thing started happening around Jesus. People who knew they were lost, people who knew they were far from God, started gathering around him to listen and to follow him. And it's referred to in this way, it's kind of described in this way. A lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. I want to point that out to you. Men and women of doubtful reputation, tax collectors, sinners, people who were notorious for the fact that they didn't just have the socially respectable sins, they had the kind of sins you couldn't hide, the things everybody knew about. And it was precisely these kinds of people, these notorious kinds of sinners, they were the ones who were drawn to Jesus Christ. And you think, man, awesome, wonderful. The Son of Man came into the world to seek and to save what is lost. But not everybody was happy about this. It became clear that not everyone was on board for Jesus Christ's mission. Verse 2 told us that the Pharisees and the scribes, and these are people who were religious believers, they're followers of God, they're people who are even dedicated to his word. These Pharisees and these scribes, they grumbled. They grumbled, saying, this man receives these sinners and eats with them, these men and women of doubtful reputation. And some complained about the people that were coming near to hear Jesus Christ. So there was complaining going on. And why Jesus is telling these parables that I just read to you is to say, you know what? I hear your complaining, but I am more in tune with the celebration of what's going on in heaven right now. I hear what you're saying, but you guys are deaf to what is going on in heaven right now. He wants to open that up and say, I know what you guys are saying. I know what is going on in your discourse, but I want you to hear what is going on in the presence of God and the angels right now because of what's happening, because of who's coming near to hear me. Verse 10 says, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. Jesus, of course, as God's Son, was tuned in to God's channel. He was tuned in to heaven's channel. So much in our lives has to do with what is our antenna, our spiritual antenna, tuned toward. And so Jesus' antenna was tuned toward heaven. We talked last week about tuning your heart toward God's leading and his passion and his heart for the one, going out for that one person that the Lord is leading you to. But this week, I want us to be tuned to heaven celebrating. I want us to be tuned to the joy of heaven. Jesus was essentially saying through his response to this complaining, he said, I could be tuned into your complaining, but I have to tune into heaven celebrating. Child of God, which are you more tuned into? The complaining around you or the celebrating in heaven? Complaining or celebrating? We are meant to be people who are tuned into heaven's channel and have God's heart for what is going on in the world. When Jesus says, I've come into the world to seek and to save the lost, our hearts should be tuned to that channel. When he says there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, our hearts should be tuned to that heavenly channel. Because Jesus is saying, you know what all it takes for there to be a party in heaven? Whoop, whoop. I don't know if it actually looks like that. All it takes. You know what he says? All it takes is one person coming to Jesus Christ. And that's why my challenge for each one of us, myself included, identify one person that we can pray for and seek to bring to Christ over the coming year, is you can think about it this way. I want to give the angels more to sing about. Does that sound good, church? To bring more joy to God's presence, to bring more joy to the presence of the angels, to give them more to sing about. That's what I want. And so in service of that goal, I want to make two appeals to you this morning. One is going to be to each one of us, and the other is going to be for all of us, okay? So the first appeal is for you as an individual. I hope your ears are tuned in, like this is what I'm going to ask you to be committing to. And then the other is kind of an appeal to us as a church. First Baptist Church, what are we to be about in the next year, okay? What are our commitments for the coming year? The first one is this. We each need God's heart for the lost. We each need God's heart for the lost. God's love is personal. I thank God for this. It's not just a category. It's not just like in a group that he gives this love. It is an individual, personal love that the Lord gives to each and every one of his children. The picture is of a shepherd who has lost one sheep. Just one. The numbers don't tell the whole story if you were to look at it. If you say, well, you got 99 of X and you lost one of X. Right? That's not going to tell you everything, because if you have a box of 100 pencils and you lose one of them, do you really grieve over that much? Anyone going to shed a tear over that? Assuming they're just regular old box of 100 pencils. Why? Because one old pencil is just as good as any other old pencil. You got 100. Listen, one of them you got lost. You've still got 99 pencils. Don't worry about it. You got a box of crayons. 99 are there. You lost that one. Assuming it's not the one color that you really love more than any other, then you're just like, whatever. I got plenty of other crayons in the box. I got plenty of other pencils in the box. One just doesn't mean that much because they are all the same. So then what is Jesus' point here? Is that the one is precious to you, then you refuse to be satisfied with what you've got left. When the one is precious, then you don't look at the 99, well, just the one lost sheep, whatever. When the one is precious to you. We had some dear friends of ours who went to Disneyland, Disney World, happiest place on earth. Yeah, right. And so they have, three small kids. And so they're there in this rush of people, and they've got three kids. They've got three children they love, and they're precious children. And so they find out their daughter, they don't know where she is. Like, where is she? And at that point, they have an option, right? At that point, they can go, well, we've still got two. I mean, we're still ahead. We're still at two-thirds capacity on the number of kids we've got. So, we lost one, whatever. They didn't do that. Our friend, she kind of started losing her mind a little bit, as you would. Ladies, right? Guys, be a little frantic. And they made sure that they found her, and praise God, she was found very, very quickly. We look at a lot of numbers in the church. How many of you are here today, each Sunday? We always count that, right? How many people are in Sunday school? How much money is given? And those are all important numbers that we track. But you and I can never lose sight of the spiritual priority of the most significant number. That's one. It's always irreducible. There's one person. Jesus' appeal here is to challenge us to feel what God does toward this lost sheep. To feel the preciousness of seeing somebody who's lost be found. Some of you know about the Christian singer Jeremy Camp, and part of his testimony was that he was married, young. His wife Melissa had a very aggressive ovarian cancer, and they hoped that it had gone into remission, but it didn't. She just battled that back and forth. She was tragically young, in her 20s. And it was clear that she was, barring a miracle, she was not going to survive, and she ultimately did not survive. She did pass away and went on to be with the Lord. And, of course, he's grieving over this and trying to figure this all out. And, of course, she is, too. There's the loss of so much of their future and their hopes and their dreams. But she says this, and I was reading his biography. She told Jeremy, she said, if this cancer brings one person to Jesus, then it will be worth it. Isn't that interesting? If this cancer brings one person to Jesus, then it will be worth it. So you and I need to kind of have God's heart for the lost, for the one, for the person who is far from God. But I want you to understand that. I want you to remember something here, is that what I'm trying to get you to buy into is not just some intellectual exercise. Hey, we need to understand how important the one is. Church, First Baptist, this is not just like something that we're endeavoring to do. This is a memory. Why? Because if you're following Jesus Christ today, it's because Jesus Christ came and he found you. You were that one at one point. Look at the picture in verses 4 and 5. This beautiful, he goes, the shepherd goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I don't know what your particular testimony of coming to Christ looks like. But you can, whatever it may be, you can lay this grid, you can superimpose this picture of verses 4 and 5 of the shepherd going out, finding the lost sheep, preciously picking it up, laying it on his shoulders, and carrying it home. You can put it on top of your personal testimony. You can say, I was lost, and Jesus Christ came after me until he found me. And then he took me in his arms, laid me across his shoulders, and he brought me home. Child of God, that is, if you are a child of God, that is your testimony. The details may alter a little bit here and there, but essentially, that is what happened to you. Why? You were something valuable to Jesus Christ. And so there was no way he was going to go home without you. When you lose something that you care about, you don't rest until you find it. You don't rest until it's restored to you. We need to remember that this is what Christ has done for us. And we also need to remember this. As we sit here and we sing the songs that we do and we gather around God's word, and we enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember how good it is to be found. You know what found is? Found is the opposite of being lost. Found means I know where I am. Found means somebody has their arms around me. Don't forget what it means to be lost. Don't forget lostness. Just to know that you are where you belong, that you're certain about where you're going, that means you're found. Don't forget how precious that is. And what I would say to you, I mean, some of you are watching on the live stream or listening on the radio, maybe God is opening your heart right now to the fact that you are lost. And maybe you feel really like I felt, I'll be frank with you, like God would have no reason to come looking for you. Because when you hear me talk about, well, you know, when something's valuable, when something means something to you, you go and find that. And so you tend to think, well, yeah, Jesus would come and he would look for the valuable people. He would come and look for the good people. He would come and look for the polished up good people. You think that because the world only comes looking for you when it wants something from you. You've got to be someone worth looking for someone in this world to come looking for you. And so what you think I'm calling you to do is like try to look around and rummage around in your heart and try to find something valuable that Jesus might want, that he might want to come and look after and grab a hold of in your life and in your heart. In your future and say, I can't do without that. I'm going to come and I'm going to get that in you. The only reason Jesus ever comes looking for anybody is because he loves us. If you're looking around for something for him to want to redeem in you or to need to redeem in you, just stop. It's a fruitless search. The only thing Jesus needs to, in order to look for you and want to find you, is just the love that's in his heart. And that's a precious thing for us to understand. So maybe you feel like God would have no reason to come looking for you. You're right. You're right. He doesn't have any reason to come looking for any of us. But he doesn't need anything from you. And he doesn't need anything from you. He comes because he loves you. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to have this heart for the lost. We need to have this heart for the lost. The thing we need all together to have is that we should all be God's home for the found. This is the community project. Earlier I talked about the individual project of having God's heart for the lost, but all together we should be God's home for the found. We need to create a community that celebrates when the lost are found, that we are open, our arms are open to the lost when they are found. Verse 6 says this, he comes home. It's interesting. It doesn't just talk about how he went and he found the lost sheep. Jesus goes on and tells the story even further. He's like, he comes back home, and he doesn't just like put him back out in the pasture. He calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. What does the shepherd do when he finds a sheep? He throws a party. I mean, this is party passages right here. This is party throwing is vital to the a vital aspect to God's mission to the outsider, his mission to the world, his mission to the lost. Now, I'm challenging you in this next year, I'm challenging us to go to one person with the gospel and invite them to follow Jesus Christ with us. Not just them out on their own, kind of doing their own individual project, or you out on your own doing your own individual project, but to invite them to come and follow Jesus with us. But see, that requires the church to be the kind of people that celebrate when they show up. That requires the church to be the kind of community, kind of neighbors. He calls together his friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with him, I found my lost sheep. What if his friends and neighbors go, so what? I don't care about your sheep. I don't want to party with you. Actually, that was a nerdy, not nasty sheep to begin with. I'm glad it was gone. Don't bring that sheep back on in here. What I didn't read you is there's another parable that Jesus goes on to tell, which is the prodigal son. Many of you remember that, right? The son who just goes off and wastes his father's living and everything with a bunch of wild women and liquor and wild times. Jesus says he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. You see, we're only going to respond to Jesus' work, God's work in the world, if we understand the kind of story that we're living in. Look at verse 7. It says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You hear the contrast there? Jesus is contrasting two versions of this life. There are two ways of kind of looking at the world that we live in, two kind of versions of the kind of life that I'm trying to live. The first version, he says, is the one that features repentance, and the second one doesn't. The first is a guy who's been running from God, and he's going his own way, and then he wakes up. This is the one sinner who repents. He wakes up. He's been going his own way. He's been trying it his own way. He wakes up to his lostness, and that waking up is called repentance. The Bible calls it repentance. It calls it turning around in the heart. Stop looking to myself, and I start looking to Christ. I stop looking at my works, and I start looking to Jesus' worth. I stop trying to just go, have my own way and have my own things, and I give my life to the Lord. That's what repentance means. He wakes up to his need for repentance, and that feels like sorrow in our lives. Sometimes that repentance feels like regret. Sometimes it feels like resolve. The prodigal son that I mentioned earlier, like he's at the very lowest in his life, and he kind of wakes up. He kind of comes to himself. He goes, you know what? I need to go home. I got to go back to my father. That's what repentance looks like. But if you kind of mix that picture between like the prodigal son waking up and going, I got to go home. And this sheep who's just out there wandering, and Jesus goes and finds him and picks him up, puts him on his shoulder. If you mix these two, you kind of see this truth, because our shepherd is never far from the repentant. If you have this idea, like what repentance means is that I kind of wake up to my own, and then when I've got to that point where, okay, I need to turn, I've got to do something about my life, I need a change, and then the next thing is this months of working my way back home. That's not the way that God works, brothers and sisters. Our shepherd, Jesus Christ, is never far from the repentant. He is never far away from the person who knows their need for Christ. When we wake up to our lostness, we never have to go looking for Jesus Christ. When you wake up to your need for repentance, you never have to go looking for Jesus Christ. He is already looking for you. I hope that you understand that. The Bible tells us that our story is about a shepherd that is seeking his lost sheep. And this is the version of the world, and this is the version of our lives that heaven rejoices over. But there's another version of life that is on offer here. It's the one where repentance isn't necessary. It's just not needed. You see, he says, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Let me ask you a question. Where are those righteous people who need no repentance? Where are they? They don't exist. That's basically Jesus' point. At least not in the real world. Now, they exist in a lot of people's minds. But in Romans 3, Paul tells us this, all people are under sin. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is, but he's saying there's no one who doesn't need repentance. Not even one. The only place where these righteous who need no repentance, the only place that they exist is in grandiose self-delusion. Now, the reason I'm belaboring this, church, please, and dial in on this, is that many people outside the church, and maybe you're just here kind of visiting, your picture of the church is that it's a place where the 99 who need no repentance get together. That's what we are. We're the people who... We just figured it out. We're just better. Or at least we think we are. We didn't need repentance. Maybe we needed a little education. Maybe we needed a little improvement. But we got the right message. We lived the right way. We figured it out. We did it right. We didn't need repentance. Henderson's first, please hear me well. And Lord God, please make this our plea and our conviction from the very marrow of our bones. We are not here for fictional 99 people who need no repentance. This church is here and will always be here for the one who repents. All of our stories are stories of being the one who needed to repent. And if you aren't a follower of Christ, I want you to understand this. You can look around you, to the left and to the right, in this sanctuary, and what you are going to see are people who needed to repent, who needed to turn. We've all needed it. And the beauty of this is that when we realize this and we really get our hearts and our arms around this, we've got a lot to celebrate and we've got a lot to rejoice over each and every Sunday. We've got a lot to look forward to in the lives of other people, because there's nothing that you see in the life of someone else. Listen, I know some of us can think of someone. In fact, this go-to one, the one I'm going to ask you to pray for and reach out to, somebody that the Lord's going to put on your heart, they may look like they are so far from being anywhere close to following Jesus Christ with their life, and they may in fact be. But I can tell you this, there is nothing in that person's life that would not be immediately changed if they repent and turn to Christ. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we've always got hope. We've always got expectation. That the Lord is going to bring people into His family. Well, as we kind of come to the close here, I want to tell you this. Jesus tells these stories, He tells these parables because many of the religious people around Him were watching what Jesus was doing, and He was doing what He was supposed to do, come and seek and save the lost. And these people, rather than rejoicing over it and being in tune with heaven and what was going on there, they were miserable. They were miserable over it. You may ask the question, why would anybody be miserable over a lost person coming to Christ? Pride. Pride is the reason why. Pride is always going to block our experience of the joy of God. And as I mentioned last week, you know, like there's this rejoicing, the Ethiopian eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing, and I told you that that's what we are really after here. And what I want you to understand is that we're not trying to kind of produce some joy that we offer up to God. What we're being told here is that the shepherd is rejoicing as he finds. The widow is rejoicing as she has found the coin. And then they're saying, hey, come on in. Let's get together. I've got the joy. Please come on in and rejoice with me in what is being found in my presence. Brothers and sisters, that is what I want us to be. More and more. I mean, we are that, but I'm just challenging us. I'm encouraging us, myself. Let's be more and more a kind of people who will celebrate and welcome in those who are being brought in by the Spirit of God. Rejoicing doesn't start with us. It starts with God. He's the one who initiates it. He's the one who initiates the mission, and then we respond to that, and then we see people come to Him and get new life. Finding lost things, man, it brings joy to my heart. And finding lost people brings joy to the heart of God. And for some of us, what this is an opportunity to do is to open our hearts more wide and open our community more widely to experience the joy of God. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now, I just want to... To grab this card, if you will, because I'm going to give you a few minutes here. For us to kind of, because some of you, you know, this may, you're like, listen, man, I wasn't here last week, or I'm not really sure. I just want to give you a couple of minutes. And the point here, like where it has your name, that's for you. What you're saying is like, I am making that, I don't want you to put the name of the person that you're going after on this card. Just want you to put your name. I'm committed to this, Sam. I'm committed to this, Lord. And I just want to give you a few minutes to pray over that and to commit to that and to sign your name on that card. If you need one of these cards, just please, you know, raise your hand and our ushers can bring you one of these cards so that you can sign that right now.
Thank you.
reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on the solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness fails. His strength will help me scale these walls. I see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation. Church, will you stand and respond?
Who is like the Lord our God, strong to save, faithful in love? My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation.
I know spring will come. The Lord is my salvation. In times of waiting, times of need, when I know loss, when I am weak, I know His grace will renew these days. The Lord my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God?
He is strong.
Strong to save, faithful in love. My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation.
To be seated, if you will, real quickly. So what we're going to do now is we've got our cross up here, and so I'm just going to ask you after I pray that you kind of make a step of commitment on this for this year to bring your card and just kind of lay it at the foot of the cross here. And as you do that, one of the reasons that we have kind of constructed it this way is sometimes it's good for our bodies to just sort of walk through something and so we can visualize bringing someone to Jesus. And so as you do that, that's what I really want you to kind of have in your heart and in your mind. So you're walking this morning and you're laying this. This is a prayer. It's a prayer. Lord God, help me. Help me to bring this person to Christ. Help me to lead this person to share the gospel with them this year. Would you pray with me? Lord God, there's so much fear that we have around this idea of talking about eternity or faith. Lord, there's just so much that Satan uses to kind of paralyze us, to confuse us. But right now, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would kind of cut through all of that and just open our hearts right now. And Father, as my brothers and sisters here, as they've been, many been praying through this week, asking for you to kind of lay someone on their hearts, Lord, I just ask right now that you would help us to begin well in this year, to walk with one another. Lord, we don't know how long we have, but we know how wonderful it is to be found. We know how wonderful it is to be loved. We know how wonderful it is to be valued by you. And Father, you who sent your Son into this world to seek and to save the lost, and that meant seeking us. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Christ. Not just for the world, but for me. And Lord, you used faithful pastors and parents and friends and ministers in each one of our lives. So we want to yield ourselves as your instruments, because there's such joy in seeing people come to know you. So Lord, we give you this time. And I pray that you'll help us to make this more than just kind of a little ceremony or something that we walk through, but it would genuinely be the beginning of a powerful work in each one of our lives and in our church in general. Lord, we know you can do more than what we ask or imagine. And right now, for some of the people that you've laid upon our hearts, it just doesn't even seem real or possible. This could even be something that you would do. But we want to ask, and we want to yield ourselves to your leadership. So we ask all of these things in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The preceding broadcast is a ministry and property of HFBC. Please feel free to share it with anyone, but please do not change, alter, or charge for it. If you have any questions about anything, please submit them by going to our website at www.fbchenderson.org and then click on the I'm New link on the homepage. And please join us next week right here on WSON as we continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, people, and nation. May God's blessings be upon you from Henderson's First Baptist Church.